Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hey, guys, welcome back. Sorry, I am not doing too well with my time management on these episodes. I get so into it, and then I look at the clock and realize I've gone over time. So sorry about that, especially those of you that might be on a tight schedule. But don't apologize for loving the Bible, that's for sure. And I sure do love this passage. We are in Romans chapter 11, and we ended yesterday kind of mid-sentence. I'm sorry about that, where the Apostle Paul was talking about the fullness of the Gentiles and about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And when he speaks about the coming of the Lord Jesus here, he's speaking about that second coming. To the Jews, they don't believe the Messiah has come. They believe that Messiah is still to come. Now, when they see him, Zechariah chapter 12, they will realize that he did come that first time and they missed him and they will mourn for that loss. But if you would notice the Old Testament scripture that the Apostle Paul quotes in making this point, we'll find it in verse number 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now, that doesn't mean that every single person puts his faith and trust in Messiah. And we know that salvation is a personal choice. But the point here is that as a corporate entity, you would say Israel is a believing nation. Kind of like we say about America, that there was a season when we could say America was a Christian nation because its values, its citizenship would claim to believe in the Judeo-Christian God. Now, I don't know that we can say that anymore. But Israel, we certainly couldn't say today, is a Christian nation in the sense that they believe on Jesus Messiah, but there will come a day when all Israel will, as a corporate entity, believe on Jesus. So that's the point in verse number 26. And so all Israel shall be saved as it's written. And here's a prophecy of that very truth in Isaiah chapter 59. Where it says, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Notice the capital D there. That's Messiah. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And how can ungodliness be turned away? Only as we put our faith in the righteousness that Jesus himself earned on our behalf. And so the fact is they will have believed on Messiah when this promise is fulfilled. Look at verse number 27. For this is my covenant. This is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And again, the taking away of sins is a matter of the mercy and grace of God effected by the faith that people have in him, in his finished work, in his promise. And there it is, the salvation of Israel, one day future. But does that mean that the Apostle Paul just had to wait until some indeterminate time in the future to see his prayer answered? Does that mean that the Apostle Paul had a kind of a wasted passion for his contemporaries if Israel won't be saved until way later in the future, especially by Paul's time frame? And of course, the answer is no, because the gospel has power individually now and has over these 2,000 years and certainly had power in Paul's day to save Jew and Gentile alike. Indeed, Paul knew many Jews who had embraced faith in Messiah and many Gentiles. And so just as the gospel was wide open to Jew and Gentile alike back then, it's wide open to Jew and Gentile today. And I would even say this, even in the Old Testament, when we view salvation really as being a Jewish thing, I mean, think about how many Gentiles were saved in that sense in the Old Testament that put their faith in Jehovah God. People like Rahab, right? People like Naaman, people like Nebuchadnezzar, and others. And I could go on and on. So the gospel has always been effective for those that believe on what God has said. So verse number 28, as concerning the gospel, they, who? The unbelieving ethnic Israelites. So Paul is speaking to the Gentiles, still speaking to them. We go back to verse 13 to understand that. And he says, they, these natural branches that were cut off, that have the potential to be able to be grafted back in if they would but believe the gospel. So these, the Bible says, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Yeah, when it comes to theology, when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to opposition to ministry, there's nobody that was more opposing, nobody more vitriolic in their disagreement than the unbelieving Jews. I mean, if anybody knew that, the Apostle Paul knew that. I've said it several times in these episodes, but Paul received 40 stripes save one on five separate occasions. I mean, he was left for dead, stoned in Lystra. He was run out of town, Thessalonica and Berea, jailed in Philippi and in Corinth, riots in Ephesus. I mean, jailed in Jerusalem and then for 2 years in Caesarea. I mean, if anybody knew the opposition of unbelieving Jews, it was the Apostle Paul. And so in that sense, they were enemies for the gospel's sake. But look at what it says, verse number 28, but as touching the election, you know, God's special plan, called a special service, as touching the election, they are beloved for their father's sake, for the father's sake. Who are the fathers? The forefathers, Abraham, the patriarch, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, right on down, Moses, David, for the father's sake. So the point is this, Paul said, I maintain a passion, a burden, a love, a respect for the Jewish people, even in their opposition of the gospel, even though that they are on the other side of the doctrinal battlefield, I still maintain a love and appreciation for them. Why? Because they are part of the people whom God chose to be the curators of this message, his peculiar people. And so, I think that's a good lesson for us today. Why do I love Israel today, even though they have rejected Messiah? And I mean, I love Jesus more than I love Israel, and they've rejected Jesus. So for the gospel's sake, these Orthodox Jews that are at the Wailing Wall and look down on us Christians, I mean, there's part of me that wants to just dismiss them, and yet they are beloved for the Father's sake. Yeah, God does have a plan, and we have to keep that in mind. And Paul was able to frame this in that sense. Look at verse number 29. Here's the reason why they're beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, God didn't change his mind about the fact that he chose this group of people through whom he would trumpet his glory to the world. Now, did he trumpet his glory to the world because of the fact that they had a certain lineage? Of course not. Did he trumpet his glory to the world because they were obedient and always went along with the plan of God? Now, what we saw in Romans chapter 9 is no. In some cases, they were incredibly disobedient. And even to a argument of degrees, most of God's people are disobedient to the gospel. But the point is, God gave them this gift to be his people, and he is going to accomplish through them glory in their belief of Messiah. And one day that will be fulfilled in the sense that corporate Israel will recognize her unbelief. We'll recognize her horrible mistake, and we'll recognize that Jesus is indeed their Messiah. He came unto his own. They received him not, but one day they will receive him. So Paul said to the Gentiles, maintain that perspective. Have a love for Israel. Even though they don't love you back, understand God's process and understand what God will perform and understand your own status as an undeserving sinner in an olive tree that you didn't deserve to be in. So you see how it all fits together? Now look at verse number 30. We'll just cover two more verses. And again, we're running out of time. But verse number 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God. So a good way to maintain humility is remember where you came from. You in time past, you didn't believe God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. No, you have obtained mercy because of these branches that were set aside, and God's grafted you in. He's given you this opportunity. So understand where your bread is buttered. Understand that you're undeserving, and so am I. Now, verse number 31, rather, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. So they were the ones that were in, but are out. And because they're out, you got in. But in your getting in, God is going to show them things about himself through your inness that they need to see, and maybe they can get in too by God's mercy. The whole point is this, be humble, maintain your faith in the goodness of God, understand that God wants us to have a heart for our unsaved Jewish, the unsaved Jews. He wants us to have a spirit of humility about the salvation that we do have. Can I just put it this way? Love God and love others. Love God and have a heart for people to be saved. And boy, the Apostle Paul so modeled that. He loved God with all of his heart. And he said, I am an apostle to the Gentiles. And as many as receive him. And Paul preached that message, but he said, I also maintain this ceaseless burden for my own people, and I want them to be saved as well. So understand your place. We are in because of God's mercy, and we are in because of our faith, not because of our works, in what God has accomplished through Jesus. Let's stop there in verse number 31. I cannot wait until verses 32 to 36, because this chapter ends with the greatest of doxologies to God, who deserves the blessing and the benefit for all of what he has done in regard to the salvation of Jews and Gentiles alike. We'll talk about that next episode. Until then, have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.